For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
You are listening to episode 167, Fruit Fuckers Anonymous. Please do not actually call us if you like fruit fuckers.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bass Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
And it's time for the second part of our Best of 2012 shows, video games. And we got ourselves a killer lineup of people. Joining us again from last week, we have the drunk gamer himself, the DCD.
Oh, well, one of the drunk gamers. Do you make it sound like I'm having all the beer? Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm putting you up on top of the pedestal. I'm making you the king of the drunk gamers.
Hey, I'm second place,
you're the
though.
You're the drunkest guy in the room. Congratulations. He's the one wearing the lampshade. Yes, you got it. Yeah.
Here's your trophy, which you can throw up in. We got from Digital Noob, we got Russ joining us, the Digital Noob crawler himself.
How you guys doing?
Doing very good. And lastly, we got our buddy from Fantastic Forum, Mr. Lawrence Young.
Mayor Young!
What's going on, good people?
A lot is going on, I take it. So, as we are all gamers, before we just jump into it, what did you all think of 2012 in the realm of video gaming? How would you grade it?
I'll say A.
You'll give it an A?
I thought 2012 was a great year for games. We got a lot of amazing games. Like, really, literally, at the end of 2012, there was too many games to play at once.
Yeah.
Literally.
Which, well, that's usually happens.
What usually happens, but it felt like it was even more so. Like, trust me, we've all been in the industry a few years now. It's like, yeah, there's always more games to play at the end of the year, but it literally felt like you couldn't cover them all in a real way because there was too many to play this year.
I know. It felt like people took the whole end of the world thing seriously and be like, oh crap, let's just put all of our best ideas together and make the greatest game ever. And it happened to, like, I think over 30 games were like that between October and December.
Oh, before that. I'm going to say A minus, but only because, number one, the Wii U launch didn't go the way I expected it because you had, like, download like a 5 gig update when you first opened the system. And there were too many sequels. There were way too many sequels this year, but a lot of them were good, which is nice. But still, it's like Ninja Gaiden 3, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Halo 4. Everything has a 3 or a 4 attached to it, except for maybe Dishonored and a few other games like that. But A minus. It was a good year. I just, you know, it was over sequelized.
Yeah. Understandable. I could honestly go with the whole A minus thing. There weren't as many original games out there as there were like last year, but when they were original, like Dishonored, they were awesome originality. And
yeah.
I felt like this was another good year for sequels. Like last year, 2011, we had a lot of great sequels. We had Portal 2. We had Saint Rose the Third. This year, we got Halo 4, which people claim to be the biggest, the best out of all the Halo games. We have Assassin's Creed 3. We have a new Mario Brothers. We've got just all these different sequels that wound up being very, very good.
Yep.
Or at the very least, not shitting on the bed of its franchise.
You're starting to sound like Braveheartish in your voice. You're like, it's going to be very, very good. Well, our freedom.
The reason why I'm doing that is because I'm wearing like headphones. So part of me is like say, protrude your voice so you can hear your own self. So
like Hamlet in video games, Dishonored. What is thou?
All right, Blonde.
It's a good voice. It's a good voice.
Thank you, Blonde. What do you think of gaming this year? How would you rate it?
Well, seeing that I had my whole thing where I'm not as of a full-time job anymore, type of person, I'd have to give it a B- because I wasn't able to be like, oh, I'm so putting money down on this game. I'm so putting money down on this game. I mean, legitimately, like I was kind of broke this year, so I can't really say this was a good year for me with gaming. So I would probably be on the B- side. But like the other day, I finally kind of just because I've been putting money down on like almost all the Call of Duties before they came out and stuff like that for the last like 5 or 6 years now. And this year I felt like it was not like that important to do it. So because I was just so broke and next to that, not enough time to go and play that. But more or less, yeah, I finally just bought it the other day and I started playing it. So, it's one of those things where I was on the fence this year. I was like, this is not a good year for me just in general. So that might be the negative person today.
All right, how about you, Russ?
I'm going to go with A- as well. There are just so many good games. I mean, yeah, there were a lot of sequels, but most of those sequels were very good. So I can't really be faulted for adding another good game to a franchise.
Yes. All right, then. So shall we jump into the categories? Shall we jump into the main part of the program?
Sure.
All right, so the first category I have right here is Best Action Adventure Title. And let me see. Well, Lawrence, since this is your first time on the Boston Bash Brigade, why don't you go first? What was your favorite action adventure title for 2012?
Well, I will say that, like, as I just said, there was a lot of great games that came out, and I think more than a few of them can fit in this category. But for me, without question, I have to say the best action adventure title was Assassin's Creed 3. I mean, the way that they took that that story between the Assassins and the Templars and weaved it in seamlessly with American history and the things that you kind of grew up learning, or at least as an American that we grew up learning, it was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. It hit me on every level as far as, like, I'm a big third-person action kind of guy. I'm a huge history nerd. I love science fiction. I love, like, just, you know, being able to feel like I have options in regards to how I can kill things, as well as having options as far as it being like open world and being able to do other stuff. I mean, on every level, Assassin's Creed 3 was fantastic.
Absolutely. I just got the game for Christmas, and since then I've been playing it nonstop. And first of all, I had no idea you started out as someone complete. You don't start off with the dude that's on the cover. You start off as this. Right. You start off with this British dude, who then winds up. Spoiler alert: winds up being a member of the people you're supposed to be fighting off against.
Oopsie.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. It was like, congratulations, you are now part of the Templars. What?
I'm your father. I'm your father.
Exactly.
Dude, thanks for ruining it, Jake.
That's why I said spoiler alert.
At least we didn't talk like Desmond dying. We didn't. Oh shit. Sorry.
They don't call him Bastard Brigade for nothing.
Yeah, yeah, right. All
right.
How about you?
Know it.
How about you? Beat me?
Yeah,
I've got two. I was going to say Dishonored, but I'll tell you this. I absolutely loved Mass Effect 3. I got to give Mass Effect 3 the first nod because I think it was a great continuation of the series. I don't give a shit what people say about the ending. I thought it was great. The game as a whole really continued the series so well for me. So I'll give that the nod in terms of like a returning sequel. But for original, I got to talk about Sleeping Dogs. This game originally canceled. Like, it was supposed to be a true crime sequel.
Yeah.
But Square Enix came back. You know, United Front Games did such a good job of it. You got into fights that were right up there with, like, Batman Arkham City. You got into street races. like shootouts. You had like the hard boiled style shootouts, like John Woo twin guns style.
Like the Stranglehold game that should have been.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool. I was really happy with how Sleeping Dogs turned out. So I'm tied between those two. They're both great games. So okay. Mass Effect and Sleeping Dogs.
All right. How about you, Blonick?
Well, the one game that I liked the most was Max Payne 3. It was it actually was the longest game that I've played in the longest time. It was one that actually made it worth the actual play. I felt like it took me like about 3 days just to beat the game. In all.
For the record, the game does have the best song of the year, like Tears Health.
Yes.
Yeah. Tears Health. Yeah.
Like, because I was able to get the special edition and stuff like that. I was able to get like the actual like soundtrack of the thing, and once in a while, I like just putting it on because it just sounds badass. I mean, all like the whole storyline was just amazing. It was just really like. What Max Payne has been like wanting to be for the longest time, because of the fact that when you played Max Payne 1 and 2, they never amounted to like the greatness it could be because of the graphics, but yet they were the first to really do like the bullet time aspect in like video gaming. And for what they did when we originally like met up with them at PAX East and everything like that, and like I saw what they did where they actually put the video over the load screen, so you're not sitting there like waiting for the load screen, you're actually just like enjoying a video while it loads, and it brings you right into the game again. It wasn't like, and it wasn't all filler either. It was amazingly, it was just done right. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have to say about that one.
Agreed. You see, for me, one game that really stood out for me in the whole action adventure game was a great downloadable title from Clay Entertainment called Mark of the Ninja.
Ooh, that was good too.
This was a true game that awards for your stealth instead of just simply mowing down everyone left and right. And while it was still violent, it could be kind of seen as the polar opposite to Clay's other game series, Shank. And I loved this narrative, the cool tasks you had to do. It felt like it gave me all the stealth maneuvers that I was hoping that Ninja Gaiden 3 was going to have, but surprisingly didn't. I mean, there was that one part in the first level of Ninja Gaiden 3 which teaches you how to sneak up on someone. I think that was the only time in that whole video game where you snuck up on somebody.
Here, I think you're right.
And here in Mark of the Ninja, that's the name of the game. Sneak up, kill, be a silent, dispose of the body before the other guards find it. It was beautiful how they did it. And when I first saw it at PAX East, I was blown away. And then playing the final version of it, I was very, very impressed. And I really look forward to seeing what Clay Entertainment's got happening next.
Man, it sounds like you're getting in the groove over there. Who's...
Yeah. Oh, do you hear like drums in the background?
Music to kill by.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's someone down in the basement drumming.
Oh, okay.
But Russ, how about you for best action adventure game?
Well, if we're gonna go with something like Mass Effect 3 that kind of has an RPG element to it, I'm gonna have to go with Borderlands 2. Oh. That game just was amazing on every single level. It was so much fun. There were a bajillion more guns. The humor was actually better, I think, than the first game. And characters like Handsome Jack and, you know, everybody else, it was just such a great game all around. And I can't really find a fault with it aside from, like, too many enemies sometimes. But even then, that's fun because you destroy everything.
Absolutely. All right.
It's really interesting how the games, like, the genres are bleeding over into one another in a real way now. Yeah. So it's like, you know, a lot of people would consider a Mass Effect an RPG and would consider Borderlands 2 and FPS, but realistically, it's like if you're talking about action adventure games, you could include those, both of those, I think, too.
Honestly, yeah, and that's what's going to be like for the next category when we discuss. And I wouldn't be too surprised if someone mentions a previous game that they've just talked about here, which is best strategy RPG title.
Oh wait, are we doing best strategy or best RPG?
Both. Because both have like similar elements to it that I've discovered. Actually, for me, because best strategy and best RPG was the same game. So if there's a best strategy for you guys and a best RPG, that go on ahead, and you can talk about that. So why don't you start off, DCD, and talk about your favorites?
Well, all right. For strategy, I had to go with XCOM Enemy Unknown, because it is a great return to form for the series. Looked great, had a bunch of different tactics you could do with your players. It was just a lot of fun. But if we're talking RPG, like old-school style RPG, we got to talk Persona 4 Golden, which validated the Vita as one of the best RPGs of the year. It was just really good on every level.
Like, at last, like a good Vita video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I do have to agree with you with the whole XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the original game back when it was... when you had to play it on Microsoft DOS on your computer. And when I first heard that they were going to go back to XCOM and it was that first-person shooter thing, I was a little worried. But now that they have made this, XCOM Enemy Unknown, it was one of the first turn-based strategy RPGs in a long time that I could really get myself into. And I'm not really into like turn-based games, but this one just really got me excited.
Yeah, I mean, it was just the way that they could capture the old-school XCOM style of play while at the same time presenting this great new graphic style and being able to play with others. I mean, it's just phenomenal how it works all the way around. I mean, it drags a little bit towards the end, but overall it just feels like a quality return to form in terms of real-time strategy. You know, it doesn't try to cheapen out and be like an action game. You know, it knows exactly what it's supposed to be and it sticks to its guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Russ, how about you?
As far as strategy games, I'm going to have to agree with you guys on XCOM. I still play that game, actually. I was actually playing it, I believe, yesterday, because I'm doing another playthrough, and I love it, and I'm actually having fun naming all of my soldiers after Marvel Comics characters and making them all look vaguely, I make them vaguely similar to the characters I'm naming them after, so I'm having just a ball with that game. I think I'll still be playing that game like next year.
Did you have a Peter Parker that died?
I'm working on it. He probably will at some point.
Look, Spider-Man 700, no!
The end.
And then as far as RPGs go, I didn't play a whole lot of them this year, but an action RPG that I think deserves some mention is Darksiders 2. Because, I mean, while not a lot of people like the puzzles and a lot of the stuff, I thought that game was incredible. The combo system was great. The RPG elements for the skill trees was really good. The puzzles dragged a little bit, but they were still good puzzles. And overall, I thought the game was just very solidly done.
Blonick, how about you?
I'm going to have to say I don't know on this one, because I really didn't get to play really any strategy-type games. I mean, hell, it just sucks because one of my friends just bought me for Christmas the XCOM game, and I haven't gotten to sit down to play it quite yet. And I feel like that would probably...
Boo! No, I'm sorry. No.
B-.
I would give myself an F- because of that.
Yeah.
So
get out.
Anyone who hasn't played XCOM yet gets an F-.
You really are a bastard, sir, aren't you? No.
Just smack him around. It's fine.
All right. How about you, Lawrence?
Oh, okay. Well, look. If we're talking strategy games, without question, XCOM Enemy Unknown is what you were playing this year, and if you weren't, you know, not you, Hogan, but you know, other people, you know, screw you. It's like, really,
the ones with money.
It's like, it's amazing. It's an amazing game, whether you've played the original or not. If you play the original, you're definitely going to get more out of it because it has like the little nods to the original game. But if you didn't, you will be introduced to this world and this battle system. And it's gonna blow you away. It's like it could very well be the only strategy game you'll ever play. But it's that sleek and it's done that well that it can pull you in whether you play strategy games or not, as you attested to yourself, you know? But yeah, XCOM, without question, as far as strategy. In regards to RPGs, you know, I'm gonna have to give the nod to Xenoblade Chronicles. Which, you know,
yep.
Not everybody played it because it was on the Wii and it was at the end of the Wii's life cycle. And, you know, I mean, RPG gamers are a niche part of the gaming community as is. And then you got to go from that to RPG gamers that own a Wii. And then from there, it's like those that want to play a JRPG. But the fact of the matter is, man, like Xenoblade Chronicles is like a swan song to a dying genre. And it does everything right in regards to how JRPGs are supposed to be done, as well as bringing in some Western influence, as well as just kind of showing how good a game could look on the Wii. And it's just fantastic in every sense of the word, man. I mean, it has an amazing battle system. It has a really interesting world. I mean, the world is literally a biosphere that has come up on the bodies of two dead like titans. They're like mechs or whatever. But like, you know, the world grew on them because they've been suspended animation for so long. It's like, dude, who tells a story in a setting like that? How can that not be interesting by itself?
Yeah.
So it's like, not to mention the battle system, which I got to give Xenoblade props for in the sense that I thought this battle system was a dumb battle system because it's similar, or because of the similarities it has to Final Fantasy. And when I played Final Fantasy, I'm like, I don't like this. But when I played it on with Xenoblade, I was like, oh, okay, it's not the battle system. It's just that the last Final Fantasy sucked. So I was like, okay, that's what it is. Guess what? Xenoblade is literally, it's the best, brightest, and biggest RPG of this generation.
All right.
And fantastic.
So just joining us right now is Issues Guy.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. That's my vote for RPG of the year, too. It blew my mind. I mean, I thought with all the overhype for it as well that I wouldn't fulfill everything that I built up in my mind imagining what it could be. But when I played it, I was taken in, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this because of my previous love for the World of Warcraft, but I almost was filled with that feeling the first time I stepped into that world with the greatness of the world and feeling just the amazing scope of it all. And the battle system, I agree. I personally hate a lot of the newer modern Final Fantasy games. I like a lot of, you know, the original ones, the NES games and stuff. But But the simplicity of that just made it so conducive to playing and doing other things. You know, like didn't put a lot of thought to it, but it was immensely rewarding.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game, and I really wish more people would go and play it because it's amazing.
And it's the most beautiful Wii game ever made. And I can't even believe that Nintendo even considered for a moment not localizing this. And yeah, it's a shame it's only available at GameStops and a few other places, but But it's amazing, and anybody that owns a Wii or a Wii U now that hasn't played that game yet, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Right. See, and that's the thing too, right? Because they were literally not going to bring it to the U.S. and they had to write a letter campaign, like the people in America had to be like, dude, give us this game, and there was no good reason for it. Say what?
Project Rainfall or Operation Rainfall.
Right. And that's the thing where there was no good reason because they decided they were going to let it out in Europe. And so it was already like localized in English, and they were just like, dude, give us the game. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know if Nintendo did that on purpose or what, but either way it goes, we got it and we're the better for it because it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, before we go into survival horror, it's just guys, did you want to say what your favorite action adventure title was?
You guys probably talked about it before. Someone might have said it already, but it would probably have to be Dishonored.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had so much fun with that game of being a new world to explore. I love the whole idea of the plague effing with people and everything like that. I found the gameplay hugely rewarding. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. The story itself was a little here and there, but the gameplay just completely immersed me into that adventure sort of feeling. I'm not going to say I could have easily picked one game that I talked a lot about at the mid-year. The mid-year for pretty much almost every answer, but I'm going to save that for a couple of other answers. A lot of things double up for me, but I'd say that was my favorite adventure game of the year.
Because what better way to prove your innocence than from murder than killing everybody?
Exactly.
That's
so close to the way I think in normal life. You know that is just...
I
didn't kill my wife. I'll prove it to you by murdering everybody else.
What I know about Dishonored is that you don't have to kill anybody.
No,
so
that's the most amazing thing about it too. A lot of games give you the ability for choice, but this really allows you to play in multiple different ways. I mean, like a game like Batman Arkham City from last year. I mean, you can stealth around in that game, and ultimately they want you to have to go in the street and beat the shit out of a bunch of people at times. This game, you can really play it in a lot of different play styles. Yeah, it leans you towards stealth and stuff, but you can just go in there and, you know, be a mass murdering machine. But, and I guess there is an achievement for killing nobody, but who wants to do that? Come on. You got to kill somebody.
Yeah. So on that note, let's talk.
These powers,
It's okay. Let's talk best survivor horror game of 2012. And for me, no game this year gave me as big a fear element as Zombie U.
Oh, wow. I can imagine.
It was a good game, but I got one better.
Okay.
Basically, your opinion doesn't count.
Oh. Yeah, I'm just a professional. I mean, what the hell do I know?
I'm just playing games 24-7 out here.
Whatever, yeah. Just because I have a college degree. Yeah, let's not listen to that guy. Fuck him. No, but go ahead and explain your reason, and then I'll explain my choice.
Okay. But it's one of the very few games where I have to mentally prepare myself for the fright before I even turn on the system. It had the great RPG elements, a fantastic usage of the Wii U gamepad for your bug-out bag map, and extremely useful radar system. And it's got that whole true zombie canon aspect that gives it the extra fright factor. I mean, one bite, you're dead. And then you have got to find your previous zombified self and bash your head in to get your stuff back. It's a game that put the survival back into survival horror, something that the folks at Capcom seem to lost their way in. This game has put Capcom to shame when it comes to zombie games.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Well, that and the Resident Evil 6, because of how shitty it was.
Yeah.
But no, the reason I said I got one better, as spooky and as well laid out as Zombie U is, there is a game that brings out more of an emotional charge from you in terms of like the dread you feel, mm-hmm. not from what you do, but from the decisions you make. And you guys know what I'm talking about. The Walking Dead.
Fucking Dead, yeah.
Yes. This game is fucking awesome. Telltale Games just like wiped the floor with Resident Evil 6 with this one. I mean, it was a great series, emotional charge all the way throughout, like these tense situations where you may not survive. I mean, granted, it was a bunch of button mashing instead of like full on first person shooter, but it was so well done.
It was an emotional roller coaster.
It was. It's like, do I or Clementine? I'm like, oh shit.
Even the way it was drawn just brought you right into the emotional feelings of each character. Right from the first chapter, you're like, I'm in a horrible situation. There are no good decisions here. Everything I do is going to end up killing somebody. And you go back and you really get emotionally involved. What you were saying, King, about that, like with this game, you really need to emotionally prepare yourself. You know you're going to be depressed after a session of playing this game.
And why put me in charge of the food? Seriously, I'd be like, no, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat all these.
Don't eat it.
Screw the kid.
Spoiler alert. When I was running down the stairs, I was like, I wanted to make the little girl eat that shit. I was like, eat it.
And with that, we remind you that we do not condone making kids eat stuff they don't eat.
Definitely.
Here we go.
That's how they grow big and strong.
Eat your green in the zombie apocalypse.
I know. When the zombie apocalypse comes, you're going to be sorry you didn't eat your broccoli, Timmy. I'm sorry.
All right.
But yeah, that's my pick as well. It could have been my pick for favorite adventure game of the year as well. I'm trying not to answer that for everything. As again, on the mid-year show, I was going on and on about this game after only playing the first two chapters. I was completely obsessed with it. It was a great, great effing game.
Yes. All right. How about you, Bluonic?
Seeing that I was able to actually play on your Wii U, Zombie U does seem like it takes the cake for the horror game. I mean, I really haven't noticed any other games besides maybe The Walking Dead, which when I got to play the demo, I was semi-impressed with it. The graphics were kind of cool, but it was kind of a weird kind of controller scheme for my taste. But with the Zombie U being what it is, because of the fact that you have the controller part, although it does cause me to have a bit of motion sickness, I did like that game a bit more. So I'm going to go with Zombie U on that one.
All right. Lawrence.
I will say this. I put this down, and I'm not quite sure if it quite fits in the survival horror category, but because... other people chimed in on it. The Walking Dead, without a question, was my pick. Now, what I will say is I got to give the caveat that I don't play survival horror games. So it's like it's one of these genres that I don't feel like I'm an authority on. because like I don't play the Resident Evils, and I like as much as intrigued as I was by Zombie U, I can't play it because like just like what you said, like it's gonna terrify me in a way that's not fun. And so just like, you know, despite all my heroic deeds in real life, the fact of the matter is when I go to recreation, I don't want to feel this. And so so I don't play it. But The Walking Dead, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give episode one a try and see, just because of how big a fan I am. I mean, obviously, you know, my show, Fantastic Forum, is about comic books. Yeah. So I'm a Walking Dead fan. I've been reading the comic since the beginning, just about. I watched the TV show, and once everybody was talking about how amazing this adventure game was, I was like, dude, I have to play it. And sure enough, it's like it's instantly addicting, where it's like, despite the fact that I feel tense when I play it, mm-hmm. Which is sad to say, because it's not even like a Zombie U, where it's like, you know, things will pop out at you really and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot more mellow, but the tension it creates is very real.
Yeah, the tension, so a lot of choices you have to make.
Really is.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like not even in just the scares, but in the decisions you have to make, and the fact that they decided to do that little timed thing with your choices, where it's just like, yeah. It's amazing, where I'm just like, man, like and I think that, you know, what Phil and Rob were saying is absolutely right, in the sense that you got to prepare yourself to play the game, just because it's like I can't play The Walking Dead whenever I have some time. I got to make sure that I'm in the right frame of mind to play The Walking Dead game, and it's awesome. It's fantastic. But yeah, that's what I'm going with.
All right. How about you, Russ?
I'm actually going to have to agree. I hadn't actually started playing a lot of it until actually this morning. But I played through the first two chapters, and I'm already in love with this game, and it's so intense, and it's so scary, because there's a legitimate moment where, you know, like, something will come out, like a walker will come out at you, or something will happen, and you're just like, holy God, what just happened? And you just feel scared, right, and horrible and depressed, but you feel awesome because it's such a good game.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like one of the only games that makes me scared and sad, but also happy.
Right. Right. You it's like a whole emotional gamut.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, oh, I can't believe they made this decision. Wow, I was so glad to play that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You get so emotionally worked up and emotionally attached to some of these characters, and you know that most of them are probably not going to make it, and it's, right, it's hard to get emotionally invested in a lot of other games like that, and they do it right from the beginning, so right, you're so emotionally attached, and everything is more intense as far as fear goes and elation when, like, something good happens, and it's all around, like, emotionally just runs the emotional gauntlet, like, all the way through.
It's like a soap opera for guys.
Yeah.
And soap opera with zombies.
You have wrestling?
You have to give it its props for how invested you get in each character per capita of the amount of time that you're actually playing. Yeah. Because I know there are games I've played five times as long and could care, like, four, six, eight times as less about the characters in. But The Walking Dead is like these little bite-sized episodes. They manage to, you know, introduce you to characters, make you care about them, give you pivotal decisions, watch one or two of them go, and then wait for the next episode. And it was like, oh my God, like, really? Like, I got it. You know, luckily there are people out there that haven't played it that will be able to pick it up, whether it be as a retail purchase or buy the season pass and get all of the episodes at once. That's good for them, but for the rest of us that had to wait, it was like, wow, I can't believe it.
Especially that wait from the first episode to the second episode, because that was a big, long chunk. Right after that first episode, waiting for that second one, I was like, every day I was checking. I was like, I need my fucking fix. I want to see, and again, I won't mention names or anything. I want to see one character die so much. Shit he said to me. I want that guy to suffer. And when that decision rolled around, I didn't hesitate. I watched that guy suffer.
Who you're talking
and I'm
about.
Not going to say who, but you guys probably know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
I couldn't wait to watch that guy suffer.
But what I will say is this, is that, and beyond being a fan of The Walking Dead and thinking that this was such a great game, like, this made me feel like not only do what I want to see, like, say, another game in this series, but it made me feel like, you know what, I could play other adventure games. Like, if somebody can... It doesn't have to be The Walking Dead. It could be anything, as long as it has the same level of deftness in its execution.
In immersion, I mean, there's such a big difference between, and I enjoyed parts of, but there's such a big difference between this and the Back to the Future game. It's such a step up in quality, and I wonder if Telltale will continue with that. Was it the time decisions? Was it the kind of storytelling? Was it the overall feeling that every decision led into how it was all going to wrap up, and instead of individual puzzles like Back to the Future felt? Especially a company like Telltale and my love, and I talked about this a lot, but my early love of video games and games like King's Quest, Police Quest, Space Quest, I have that built-in love for those type of adventure games. And that's another thing that The Walking Dead did. It brought me back there and made me feel like a kid again playing King's Quest for the very first time.
Who Telltale Games is going to be doing next is the King's Quest series.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yes. Okay. So let's move on to how the best categories: best shooter, best first person shooter. What was
the Walking Dead? No,
you shot with words.
What was your favorite gun crazy game of the year? And let's start with you, Issues Guy.
Oh God, can you come back to me? Because I'm still deciding between two.
All right, how about you, Russ?
I'm gonna go with two of them. This one is, of course, going to be Borderlands 2. That game is just incredible, and there's so many guns, and it's a very obvious choice for an FPS. And also, Far Cry 3 was really, like, surprisingly good to me, and it just looked beautiful. The whole first-person system worked really well for me, and I just really enjoyed that game.
Just since you said those are the two I was deciding between. I think when it comes down to it, I liked Far Cry 3 a little bit better because of the open-worldness of it. I just fell in love with that game and killing things in that game. So I guess mine would be Far Cry 3.
You can kill a shark.
Yeah, you can kill a fucking shark. Yeah. I mean, it was like, you could kill anything. You know, it was incredible.
Take that, you defenseless warthog. Whoa! Pumba my ass!
Yeah, I remember like freaking out trying to kill it. It was like a golden tiger with a bow and arrow, and it was like, oh my god, no, leave me alone.
Hakuna Matata, motherfucker.
Yeah, it would be really fucked up if you had it on your XMB and played Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
But Borderlands was amazing too. That could have been my role playing game of the year too. That was just a fun fucking game.
Yes, for me, the shooter that I enjoyed most this year has to be Max Payne 3, and I was initially worried that when Remedy wasn't going to come back to develop it, I thought it was going to be something that was going to be a total different experience. And it was. But when Rockstar told me that Remedy had been keeping a watchful eye on Rockstar's development, it gave me a huge sigh of relief. And when I finally played it, it was just beautiful. And everything that made Max Payne what it was still there. And the narrative just kept me on the toes. And I'll admit, there were even a couple times where in this game, while I was playing this game, I had to throw my controller down because I was so pissed off at what was happening in the story, but then I would pick it back up, and I was just keep being surprised and surprised and surprised by what I was playing. I loved it. It brought me back to the classic, the first two Max Payne games.
I'll tell you, I was torn between two games as well. The first one was Far Cry 3 because there's nothing like activating a radio tower than doing a zip line down and shooting three guys as you land. Or hang gliding. And the second one, I'm going to give nod to Call of Duty Black Ops 2. I think Treyarch has finally arrived in that recognition level as Infinity Ward because they did great with the multiplayer. The single player was pretty exciting. I had a lot of fun with it. So those two games.
Okay. How about you, Blonik?
I have like five that come to mind, but my top one, my top two would be between Sniper Elite and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon. Now, Sniper Elite V2 was awesome because of the fact that they kind of mixed like the whole bullet time with the whole setup of kind of the Mortal Kombat setup that they did recently, where you know you could actually see the X-ray kills. So I felt that was an amazing add to the whole game setup. It was because of the fact that you could legitimately watch the bullet fly through the air and go right through basically somebody's cornea of their eye and just right out the back. So it was pretty awesome that way. But for the other aspect of the gun setup for Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon was to be able to use the Kinect and be able to take guns apart and set them up the way you wanted to, but with a wave of the hand and be able to kind of test fire it, even though it was kind of a stupid way to test fire it, but I felt that that was probably the next one. That was pretty cool.
All right. Well, we keep losing Lawrence here. Let me see if I could finally get him to...
Stupid satellites.
I will say, though, Sniper Elite's another game, just because you mentioned that. I had a lot of fun playing that game. I liked the specialization of it, the fact that in the sniper mode and all the, you know, all the kills were great, all those fatalities were awesome, you know.
Of course the women love this game, especially because of the fact that you could take out a guy's testicles.
Well, we know not to have stand in an open field in front of you. Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Not without a cup.
You don't shoot him in the balls. You don't do that.
Gotta get the Super Trooper's bulletproof cup.
Go ahead, shoot. No, it bails right off.
I dare you. I fail you.
All right, we got Lawrence back.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Maybe.
Lawrence, can you hear us?
Come damn on. Damn satellites.
Fucking Australian satellites.
Here, let me try this again with
you. Playing hold music.
Where can I stay? Stop using AT&T. Stop it.
Oh. What's happening? Russ just got lost.
Was it something you said?
I don't know what I said.
Maybe they must hate giving the Walking Dead such shit, you know?
Exactly. They hate Sniper Elite. Oh. Mentioned it.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
Yeah, they're like, fuck those games.
All right, so while we wait for them to get back on here, why don't we talk about best music-based games? And with
can you guys hear me?
Yes. Oh, Lawrence. Gotcha. I can hear you.
You just got rid of Russ.
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. Like, it's not just me dropping off the call, is it?
No, it's
not. No, we lost a couple people.
Oh, okay, cool. Are we still talking about shooters, or are we done
with
that?
Yeah, we're still talking about shooters.
Are we doing... Okay, look. Are we talking first person, or just regular shooters, or both?
We're talking both.
Okay. Sure, whatever.
Okay, so would you like...
Hello?
We lost him again, didn't we?
Yeah. All right, we got Russ back up.
Hey, Russ.
Yeah, sorry about that. My Skype decided to force close on my tablet.
What the fuck? So, Russ, how about you for your favorite shooters or first-person shooters?
Well, aside from, like, the Borderlands 2 that I mentioned, I really, as far as a shooter goes, like the shoot-em-ups, I actually really did enjoy Sinmora. That game surprisingly good. For considering that I don't really play a whole lot of them, but that game was very beautiful. The story made absolutely no sense, but it didn't matter because you were just blowing everything up all the time.
Okay. And Lawrence, can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
All right. So what were you trying to say beforehand?
I was trying to say, okay, if we're talking about best first-person shooter, personally, I had to go with Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Yeah.
I will give the caveat that while I think a lot of people were like, okay, we might sit out Black Ops 2 because they got kind of tired of the Call of Duty franchise.
Exactly. It was every year they're coming out with the game. It's becoming like a Madden of sorts.
No. I totally get it. The difference between me and other people was I sat out all the ones previous. Like, I played Black Ops. And then I think I played World at War, and I played World at War for a second.
Wait, are you playing with all the Infinity Ward games, or is that... Wait, which one is Infinity Ward, and which one's the other one?
Infinity Ward's Modern Warfare, and Treyarch is Black Ops.
Yeah, Treyarch. He's rocking the Treyarch.
We lost him again.
All right. Well, I think he's said enough of his piece. How about we go with the next category, best music-based game? And this could be like games that are based off of, like, songs, dance games, or... Let's go with you, DCD. Was there, like, a...
I think it comes down to, like, you know, you either like dancing games or you like Rock Band Blitz. So, in that regard, Rock Band Blitz, I thought, was a nice new way to play all your old songs again. And it really gets addictive when you're trying to get, like, a good high score in the leaderboard. So, Rock Band Blitz for me.
Okay. Lawrence.
Yes.
We've moved on to best music-based games, if that's okay.
That's okay. That's definitely okay.
All right.
It's definitely okay.
So, what was your pick before we lose you again?
Right, I know, right? Look, I mean, I didn't feel like there was a lot out there in the music scene this year for me. And, I don't know. Like, it might be one of those genres that might actually fade away. I don't know. But for me, I went ahead and went with Dance Central 3 just because it was a fun...
All right, it was just fun.
It was fun. Right. It was a fun, like, party game, I think is probably what he's going to say.
Yeah, probably. All right. For me, one of my favorite music-based game had to be Sound Shapes. I loved its usage of beats to create levels and points. They got a great lineup of musicians that help out create levels, like DeadMau5 and Beck. The level creator was great because... You've got, like, all these, like, tens of thousands of people who are now not just creating their own levels, but they're basically creating their own songs now. And to be able to do these two things at once makes, like, this sort of awesome new work of art. How about you, Russ?
Mine is easily Rocksmith, because it's the only game that's actually any good that allows you to use an actual instrument. And it actually is helpful for those, like, looking to learn guitar or those who enjoy playing it. Because you get to play, you know, your favorite songs, and you actually end up learning how to play them once you're good enough at it.
Yeah. Now, Lawrence, you were saying something about Dance Central 3 was fun.
Dude, I had fun going through the story, which is, like, it's ridiculous.
Okay. Was there anything else to that?
No, there wasn't.
Okay, how about you, Blonic?
I can't really say. I mean, I know that, like, because of the fact that Rocksmith kind of came out last year, but they did add a bass add-on this year, so I was kind of happy about that. Even though I don't have a bass guitar, I've been wanting to give it a try, but that's the thing about Rocksmith is that it's a beautiful game that if you have the time and, you know, the effort of wanting to, like, learn an instrument, that's the one to play. Like, yeah. I've learned so much more about, you know, playing on a guitar from that instead of, like, how I used to do it when I was younger, like, going on and, like, go to tablature.com or something like that and look up the tabs and try to learn it and be like, oh, yeah, it kind of sounds like that, but it doesn't actually, you know, go through. So it really does help with that, but... Yeah. So, yeah, Rocksmith. Okay. Bass part. Uh-huh. That work?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, why don't we move, while our friend Lawrence figures out what's going on with his connection.
Technical difficulties.
Sorry for the technical difficulties.
Why don't we talk about best old school throwback. New games with an old look or feel to it.
Ooh, I got my picks ready.
All right. Then you go first, DCD.
It's tied between two games. The first is an old game. Well, not old game. It came out, like, for PC a little while ago, but then got released for Xbox Live Arcade, called Spelunky. And this game has got, like, a classic design to it, but it's also one of those games, like, you constantly die if you're not careful. So it's one of those games. But it's a lot of fun. And you can, like, build levels and stuff. It's really cool. The second game, Retro City Rampage. I was pleased with this game. It was hilarious, and all the references, it's just, it's ridiculous. And it's free on PlayStation Plus right now, so just go get it.
Yeah, that comes a close second, Retro City Rampage. But for me, Fez was a beautiful, beautiful 8-bit style video game that played with the whole... 3D element to it that I've never really seen done games before.
Okay, quit eating.
She is for cookie. Cookie monster. cookie,
start. I'm going to blow up the earth with my P-31 space module. It blocks my view of Venus.
Why is the kaboom?
Okay. But I loved how in Fez they used outside sources, like you can use your QR reader to find like secret commands to get the cubes, and the whole decoding of this made up language that happens in this game just totally busted my brain when it came to finding those final pieces. But I loved, I also what I loved about Fez was how it ended, and it had that sort of a 2001 Space Odyssey ending type of feel to it. It was just so psychedelic. It felt almost like a religious experience.
Yep.
Oh. All right, Lawrence.
I'm a radio. Evan.
Can you hear
us? Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes. We can.
Yes.
Okay. Best, yeah, I know.
Best old school throwback.
You know what? For me, I would have to go with Penny Arcade, you know, Rain Slick Precipice 3. Like, that joint was awesome for me.
Did the Fruit Fucker come back in that?
Say what?
Did the Fruit Fucker come back for that? You know, the Fruit Fucker, that thing that juices by sticking, like, this thing in its fruit. I was just asking, because the Fruit Fucker is, like, one of their best characters. Why are you laughing at me?
That's funny. No, I don't, I haven't gotten to the Fruit Fucker if it's in the game. But understand that at my heart I'm an RPG guy and I love role-playing games, and for this to be a turn-based role-playing game, like I've been waiting for a turn-based RPG with like modern day sensibilities for a long time, and the fact that that's what Part 3 of this series ended up being was fantastic. It was like, it made my day, and it was great. So that's what I have to go with the throwback. It had a great battle system. It had, like, it was like, and of course, because it's like Penny Arcade, it had like all of the jokes and all of the like meta humor that goes with being in a game of this type. So it was fantastic.
Cool. And by the way, guys, I am being professional when I ask, is the Fruit Fucker in the game?
It's not like a... It's being fair.
That's professional.
Yes.
I feel bad for not having a straight-out answer for you.
Honestly, Lawrence, you're supposed to prepare for this shit. You know me.
Right. The fact I can answer a Fruit Fucker question actually makes me the unprofessional one. No, right?
In this scenario, yes.
It's a great game. It's a Fruit Fucker? I don't know.
It's
very unique scenario. Right. It's very in this once in a lifetime scenario.
All right. How about you, Blonic?
Well, of course, seeing that we went to PAX East and we were hanging out in the Sega section, Jet Set Radio was pretty awesome to have it come back. And all I need is Parappa the Rapper, and I'll be all set.
Nice. Well, he was in PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale. Technically, that's a comeback.
Yeah, that is basically a comeback. But I'm just saying, but with Jet Set Radio, that was a pretty badass, you know, a whole setup for them to, you know, recreate that and get about what? What was it again? King, was it like 90% of the songs, basically?
99.7%, they said.
Yeah. Which was amazing that they were able to do that and revamp the graphics, make everything, like, you know, make it, you know, a lot more smoother with the graphics, but to keep the same kind of game, at, you know, in tow to play it and everything like that. It was pretty awesome that they were able to do that. I was really happy with that as an old school throwback.
Okay. All right. How about you, Russ?
Mine's going to have to be NFL Blitz.
Oh.
They brought that back as an Xbox Live arcade game, and it felt like the old school arcade games you would play back in like the early 90s, and it's just so much fun, you know, actually being able to hit people without getting like any kind of flag or penalty, being able to just like crush people completely, and it was just so much fun just being able to like throw it 70 yards and run and just do all the old school Blitz things that I remembered enjoying when I was younger, and just being able to like grab my Xbox and do it again.
Yeah.
What, wasn't that, didn't they like recreate, like, didn't they like do that again like a couple of years ago where you were able to actually do like stuff off the field, like do steroids and shit? Or am I thinking about the other one?
Yeah, that was the late.
Yeah, and I love those games too. I actually want them to release a third one because that game was so much fun.
Like, yeah, now, let's teach the kiddies to do roids and go get drunk at parties.
And don't forget to do when you fucker. Have Lawrence Taylor as your poster boy.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually got to interview him, and I swear to God, throughout the entire interview, he kept coming back to the girls. Yeah, those cheerleaders, man. Yeah. I was like, not shocked now at that. I'm just not shocked. And I'm surprised he didn't mention a fruit fucker. Yeah, man, fruit fucker. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, how about you, Issues Guy?
A lot of them were mentioned. Retro City Rampage was probably the best. If I consider Super Mario Wii U, or the new Super Mario Wii U, is kind of a throwback, but I really enjoyed Double Dragon.
That was my second one.
Yeah.
It was just really fun to beat the shit out of things again in a good beat 'em old school side scrolling beat 'em up. I still go to the arcade, and if I'm in an arcade, the games I play are Double Dragon, the Simpsons, Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, things like that. The old Spider-Man, the X-Men one. Those beat 'em ups in the arcade is what's fun about. You know, what's still fun about going to Circus in Vegas or something like that is to go play those. But this kind of brought me back to what I loved about Double Dragon, and probably the game I spent more money in an arcade on than any other game in history.
And in my opinion, that one had my favorite soundtrack of 2012.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I love the whole theme, everything being nice and neon. Yes. Neon, yeah, 80s feel to it, you know, and they kept to the theme through the whole game. But yeah, that was I think one of the best Double Dragons ever made, actually. It was really fun.
Which is weird, because a lot of people really shit on that game.
I had a lot of fun with it, and that's what I give a shit. If I can play it into 2-3 in the morning and just beat the shit out of things while I zone out and do hippie activities, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hippie activities, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly.
Come
listen
on,
to
man.
Fish, listen to fish music, you know. Don't take showers. Burn patchouli, you know.
Hey, man, you want to play some Kirby? Yeah.
Did we already go through? We've just had,
yes,
had so many.
I think we made it through. Yeah, we made it through everyone that time.
Yay.
I believe we did. Yay.
Nice.
So, moving on from maybe something similar to Blitz, best sports game. How about we start with you, Russ, about this? Because I don't know if it's the same as your best throwback one.
It's not. Mine actually is going to be Madden NFL 13, because for the first time in about 5 or 6 years, they actually did something different. Which is neat. It's something that, you know, EA and Madden, you know, it's like they're experimenting now, because they're like, oh, we've done the same game for the past 7 years. Let's try something different for the hell of it.
Yes.
And it worked. It was really good, and they basically compacted all of the, like, franchise mode, be a superstar mode, all the stuff that they've done for years that had actually been really fun, and they combined it basically into one mode where you can also be, like, a coach and, you know, do legends, and everything was just streamlined and worked out very, very well.
Yeah, but they created it so your friends who are dicks and stuff like that, if you're doing the voice command and stuff like that, could come in and be like, oh, like they did in the commercial, it's like, oh, you got third and goal? Okay, hike, spike.
Yeah, that's true, but, you know, it's a little bit easier now, because you could have just walked up and, like, back in the day, just hit their controller and hit a couple buttons.
Whoa.
Fruit fucker, I said stop it.
Stay away from that orange. Stay away.
I don't want to drink that now. Ew.
But it is freshly squeezed.
Between my thighs.
Oh, gross. Add vodka. I'll drink it.
All right. Bluonic, how about you? Best sports game.
Recently, I was able to play this game for Kinect. I know. I've been kind of like...
Get out!
No, wait a second. Sorry.
What?
Continue.
Okay. All right. Well, the one that I was playing for Kinect is Red Bull Crashed Ice. If anybody's else played that. No?
Oh.
No?
No.
Well, it's a download game on Xbox that you're able to do what Red Bull's Crashed Ice, which is like these guys in hockey equipment with ice skates do downhill ice skating. It's friggin' nuts. I have to say, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just YouTube it, and you'll probably be blown away, because these guys are nuts. They're going down the hill as fast as they possibly can on some like hockey ice skates, and then they're like crashing out, and it's almost like the X Games, how they had it originally, like back in the old X Games where they were doing downhill like skates, but this one's just nuts because they had this whole like they have it's almost like a luge setup, but it's just jumps and everything like that in between, and they have it so it's one hell of a workout. You're like moving your arms and stuff like that to what it's doing is trying to make you go forward in that sense, like if you were pumping when you're like ice skating, doing the ice skates. But I'm telling you, it's a fun game. It's pretty crazy.
All right, my favorite has to be UFC Undisputed 3. I mean, they finally fixed the whole submission elements to it. That I mean, so the last couple of UFC games, it was so hard to put a submission hold in or to get out of a submission hold. This one, it was a lot better. The mechanics were done a lot greater. The customizations, the story mode, being able to battle in Pride mode was just like the most awesome thing they could ever do for this game. And I'm sad because THQ is not going to be doing UFC games anymore. It's going over to EA Sports, and I'm kind of frightened to see what they're going to do to it because I did not like EA MMA.
They're going to fuck it all up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. Lawrence, how about you for best sports game?
I'm right there with you. UFC Undisputed 3. Now, I will give the caveat that much like survival horror games, sports games are not my thing. Like, I don't play sports games. The only sports I actually follow in real life are mixed martial arts and the Olympics. And hence, the only sports games I played were the UFC Undisputed 3 in this past year. So technically, it gets to be my best sports game by default. But still, I think it's worthy.
How about you, DCD?
You know what? Since NBA Live got canceled again and could not compete with it, I gotta say, even though it didn't have any competition, NBA 2K13 was amazing.
Yeah,
continue to carry like on the trend of everything that worked so well the first few years, and just it really kept the ball rolling. And they got Charles Barkley back.
You yeah, it's like you're in my head. That for that reason, just because being the first people ever to be able to get Sir Charles back in a video game, and I can bowl people over. Beat the crap out of Europeans just like Sir Charles did back in the day. It makes the game just that worth it. And you're right. With no one to compete with, they keep trying to improve it. I like bringing back stealing from what EA once did that worked with the shot stick to be able to use it for moves, not shots, because I never wanted to shoot with the stick. I want to use the stick to do juke moves and shit. Great basketball games tend to be my favorite video games to play, And I was loyal to the Live series because of how good the Genesis games were. I mean, I was loyal to Live for a long time because of the Genesis, and because of Antoine Walker being the cover boy. But I have a man crush on Antoine Walker, but that's a far bigger issue altogether. But
not gay.
But yeah, the game was amazing. Best sports game of the year.
Okay.
Am I the only one that wonders what the Europeans did to Phil? Am I the only one?
They persecuted my people No, I'm kidding. I don't have anything against the Europeans. That was just my only answer I could pull out.
Look, the sad fact of the matter is like we don't even know what race Phil is. It's like it could be so many Europeans persecuting. No.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm just a voice right now.
So thanks to the DCD, we have a lot more categories.
Oh, you're welcome. You're telling me that we're not going to have a category we can't put Need for Speed Most Wanted in? Are you really going to tell
me? Fine, we'll do Best Racing then. We'll talk about your Need for Speed Most Wanted.
I think Need for Speed More Wanted is a great game. It's a nice spiritual continuation of Burnout Paradise, since we're not going to get Burnout Paradise 2, you know? I think it's a lot of fun online. I think the cars that you can unlock are very cool. And you can just really drive around like a crazy ass, you know? There's nothing stopping you. So, I mean, between that, and I also have to give a nod to Trials Evolution, which was a great continuation of Trials HD, even though it's hard as fuck.
Yeah,
because you know, like later levels, you'd be like, "Okay, I'm going to get up this hill. Okay, I'm going to get up this hill. Okay, I'm going to get up this hill. Okay, I'm going to get up this hill." You know, and
I just blame the beaver. Nope. I just blame the beaver that appears.
Climb the wall! You know, just...
But
it's a great... Both those are great games. So if you're talking like racing games, those two are equivalents. And, you know, Forza Horizon was good for it, what it did too, so...
All right, how about you, Blonick? You're the racing expert when it comes to the B3 stuff.
God. Well, I love Trials Evolution. I do agree with that. It's Tourette's in a can. I love it. I love to be able to sit there. And when I'm trying to get up from, like, a ridiculous, like, angle from like, a plank to a tire or something like that, which is, like, 5 feet higher or something like that, and you're like, that's impossible. But, of course, somebody was able to do it. You're usually going, shit, damn, fuck. It's almost like golfing. But, I don't know about... See, like, that was the thing when you're talking about Most Wanted for Need for Speed. I felt that was like a dumbing down. Like, the Need for Speed shift was what I called Need for Speed shit. And the only one that was really good from Need for Speed lately was Need for Speed Most Wanted. No, not Most Wanted. What is it? The last one that they did.
Are you talking about Unleashed? Or no, The Run. You're talking about The Run.
Most Wanted. No, Hot Pursuit.
Hot Pursuit, thank you. Hot Pursuit is what I say is like the baseline that I felt that Need for Speed should be staying at because of the fact of how the controls work with the game, how the cars look, how everything moves. Just when I was playing the Most Wanted, it just didn't feel the same. It felt totally different. The graphics were a little like they looked a little bit down, like downward from what it was I don't know. Need for Speed is kind of hit or miss lately. I mean, I used to love playing it when I was younger, but now it's just like it's kind of another hit or miss. But you know, I would still have to probably just stick with Trials Evolution. That was probably my best racing type game of this year, which, you know, it's a downloadable game, but, you know, hell, it's pretty fun.
Agreed. How about you, Russ?
I'm probably just going to have to go with the new Need for Speed Most Wanted. I don't play a whole lot of racing games, but I've always enjoyed that one just because you can have four-hour car chases, and that's usually a good amount of fun because it gets really, really intense at the end. But, I mean, it was a good re-release. I mean, it wasn't great, but there's not really a whole lot of great racing games, at least not any that I played this year, so I'm going to have to go with that one.
All right, because I do have to go with Blonick and talk about Trials Evolution because that was one of my I like your whole Tourette's in a can thing when it comes to that.
It is. It's Tourette's in a can. Shit, damn, fuck.
But I also loved the mini games that were featured in there, especially like the UFO ones and the Explosion Man best one.
It's all customizable. Everybody could make their own maps, and you can download it.
Yeah, that too. So that's gonna be my favorite racing one. Who didn't go?
Oh, I didn't go. I'm actually here. Who knew? And I'm going to have to just go ahead and pair it, you guys, with friggin' Trials Evolution. I think Trials Evolution was amazing. I didn't cuss because I don't curse, but I wanted to. And that's what's important. But no, it's a great game. It was definitely, like, even though I do like Need for Speed and I do like Burnout, even though, you know, it's like, you know, whatever with those series right now, but I think Trials easily took it.
And I haven't played a lot of racing games this year, but I guess the game that I had, just because it's the most recent that I played and I had fun with it, I'm not sure if it deserves best of the year or anything, but it's probably the only one I really played a lot of is the Sonic game for the Wii U, which was kind of like methadone for my Mario Kart heroin addiction. So it kind of fulfilled some itch that I have that I wish a Mario Kart game got released with the Wii U, but it was fun. I had fun playing it with a bunch of people over with some beers. It was an entertaining game.
Hey, I'll say this. Phil and I are on the same page. Like, I wish they would have released a Mario Kart for Wii U, or even better.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
Or even better, an F-Zero. I would love to
have
F-Zero.
Just playing the mini F-Zero game in Nintendo Land, I was like, oh, they could have just easily put together an F-Zero game.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't know what Nintendo's trying to do here or what they're trying to, like, pretend to do, but, dude, make it happen, Nintendo. Give us a new F-Zero.
Yeah.
Sega Racing was probably the Sega All-Stars, the new one that they have the Transformer setup. That's probably the only other good one.
Yeah, I haven't played that yet. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
King, you got that, right?
Yes, I got the from GameFly.
When I've been hanging out with the King, that's the one that we were playing. We were able to actually play co-op, and we've been able to actually beat each level and gain stuff. It's amazing. I love it.
Cool.
Yeah. DCD, do you mind if we just make it best multiplayer and not...
Sure, we could do that. I mean, I just divided it up because you have, the party-style games. You have the co-op-style games, and you have the competitive multiplayer. But yeah, we could just do best multiplayer. Whatever. Cheap.
All right, sorry. I think my favorite multiplayer, the best setup with the whole, minigames, I loved what they did with Nintendo Land.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
I loved the Zelda ones. I loved the Metroid ones. I even though there were some similarities between the whole Chase Me's and the Animal Crossing ones, they still had its own unique sort of funness that you saw in these games. And even when you play by yourself, these multiplayer games are a lot of fun. The one thing I wish though, I wish they had online multiplayer on Nintendo Land.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Yeah, especially in some of the games to add replay value to, the Zelda Battle Quest game, it would be fun to add some multiplayer online so you could compete against people in little battle arenas or things like that. Might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting just because, Nintendo is definitely trying to move forward into the online space. But, dude, if it's not a snail's pace, I don't know what is. It's crazy. They definitely are not doing things that you could be doing with a console in 2012.
Well, we'll have to see what they do in 2013.
Hey, just hoping for the best. I am definitely one of the guys that's in Nintendo's corner and would like them to win, but at the same time, it's like, if you don't do what you need to do to make sure that you're on top, hey, what can I say?
Yeah. All right, So what was your favorite, Lawrence?
My favorite, what are we talking about, multiplayer, you said?
Yeah.
If we're talking about, and we just combined party and co-op, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just talking about best multiplayer game, all around. I think I'd have to go with Borderlands 2.
Mm.
Borderlands 2 is fun. Multiplayer, and it's like don't get me wrong though, I will say this, I think that comes with the caveat of a close second of Assassin's Creed 3, only because I think it's
again.
Alright, while he reconnects, how about you, DCD, for best multiplayer experience?
You know what, I'm tied between two games. I'm tied between Halo 4 because that actually has a lot to offer between the co-op of Spartan Ops and the online, war games. Both of those are really entertaining. And then, it's funny how we mentioned that there was not a Mario Kart for Wii U, but there was. It was Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, I thought was an amazing sequel.
Yeah, it's so much
fun. So well done. Yeah, it was just really a good time all around. The way the vehicles transform, the tracks change up. Plus, Panzer Dragoon and Afterburner tracks. Hell yes.
And Skies of Arcadia.
Yeah, Skies of Arcadia. It was just amazing all around. I really had a good time with it. So definitely going to give that a recommendation. And it's good for split screen and online multiplayer.
Agreed.
Yes.
Bluonic.
Okay, I'm kind of torn between two.
Okay.
First of all, I liked the Tom Clancy Ghost Recon. It was very good. But the only problem about that was once it got to about, 9 or 10 o'clock where everybody hops on, there were these raging elite guys that would come, out of left field. I swear they were the guys who actually designed it, and they would just lay waste to everybody, which made the game, not fun at that time of night. So if you were playing that game earlier on in the day, you're perfectly fine. But the other game that I'm kind of torn with is Sniper Elite. Now, the thing about that was they had a co-op game. Now, the co-op was cool. Yes, you were able to play with them, But I was kind of like, what the hell? Like, why didn't they do that? And then, finally, as downloadable content recently, which was free, I believe. Yeah, it was free. That I did put up on the website. I want to say about a month and a half ago, they did put out, you know, something for people to actually go, you know, and snipe against each other. And it is so amazing, but there's a low amount of people that are playing the game now, and they probably don't even realize that there's actually that kind of setup on there, unless they actually have like Sniper Elite on, you know, on their Facebook to give them updates. Or, but so I'm kind of torn between those two, but probably Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon more, because there's still a big following behind that game. So I'm with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon.
All right, how about you, Russ?
I got a couple different ones, because, you know, like party games and stuff like that. I actually really enjoy PlayStation All-Stars, even though it's like so blatant of a Smash Brothers ripoff that I can't even
believe it
got released. But it's very fun. And also, Borderlands 2 just has, like, it's the greatest game I've played all year, probably all around, and it's got this multiplayer spectacularly, especially because it's one of the few games that does split screen and does it properly when you're playing local.
Cool. Let's see. Who else hasn't gone yet? This is what happens when I keep forgetting who goes and whatnot.
I didn't go, but I had I kind of back up your answer. It'd either be Borderlands, or I guess I'll talk a little bit more about Nintendo Land and just the fun I have in the local multiplayer of playing, especially those top three quadrant games: the Metroid, the Pikmin, and the Zelda game. I mean, because the one-player games, you know, are one-player games. And it's almost like each one of those are... That's what's so great about Nintendo Land as a whole, is there's so many games within there. And it's only one shitty one in the whole entire game. And it's... Even that little Plinko game you get to get trophies is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, throwing down like 1,000, you know, things at once. You get A happy.
Which game is the bad one?
I don't really like the octopus dance
game. I hate that one, too.
but part of the problem is, and I was going to say this when I talked about music, I play music in real life. I sing, but I'm also like a drummer, and I have good rhythm. I can play drums. But I suck at any rhythm-oriented video game. And I just completely am inept. I just can't do it. I'm like, it's like, you know, I just suddenly am completely the most untalented rhythmic, you know, it's like I'm 1, 8, 7, 4, and especially, I mean, and that, yeah, I don't play the octopus dance,
That sounds like a personal problem, Phil.
It is. It has to do with not taking my medication, but that's a different issue altogether.
All I know is that being great at Guitar Hero has never got you laid. That's what I know. So it's like, you're not playing
in the right places then.
Damn it, DCD. No. but if you can actually play a musical instrument but suck it at musical video games, Phil, whatever, man. Like,
yeah, but I suck at I suck at musical video games to the point where I'm glad you didn't call me in music, because my pick was Song Pop on Facebook, which is just a recreation of the iPod video game. I was like, yeah, I like that game.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot about you. All right,
no, that's okay. I was glad you skipped me.
Okay, so why don't we go into best re-release, an old game that comes back into the spotlight? For me,
I'm gonna go first.
Oh, you want to go first?
Too late.
All right, DCD.
I got a tie. First one I got to mention is Ratchet and Clank HD Collection, which is amazing. And it actually includes the multiplayer from Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal, which I truly enjoy. So there's that. And then I also get to give a shout-out to the Toe Jam and Earl Collection.
Yeah.
With online multiplayer, because seriously, nothing beats sneaking up on Santa and taking gifts and then taking off on rocket skates. And yeah!
For me, I am so happy to be finally able to say I own the Simpsons arcade game. That was the game I used to play all the time at my arcade in Salem. It was the greatest game of my childhood. Everything in this re-release I loved was still intact. The addition of the whole the Japanese version was a great plus, because you got to see some elements of the game that didn't make it into the American version. In this one, I had loads of fun playing online with friends and strangers, and even though it cost $10 to buy the whole thing, I had already spent over $100 and quarters playing the cabinet version, so it wasn't that much of a loss. So yeah, Simpsons arcade game. I'm so happy it's on the system for once. How about you, Lawrence?
I think I would have to go with the Mass Effect trilogy.
Oh, that's right. It came out for PS3, right?
And Xbox 360 and PC.
It came out for everything. So, well, not Wii, but you know. It came out for, like I said, PS3, Xbox 360, and PC. And it's just like, you know, if you hadn't, there's some people, I'm sure there's like one or two of you that haven't played Mass Effect. And if you can get them all three at once, I'm like, dude, that's a boon. Despite the controversial ending, which, you know, I was on the other side of DCD with this one, where I was like, I didn't like that original ending, but the download one was fine. Like it helped it at least. So I'm like, all right. But yeah, I mean, honestly, you're not gonna find a bigger Mass Effect fan out there probably than myself. And the fact that you can get all three of them in one group. I was thinking, even though I own all three, I was kind of like, maybe I should buy that. You know? Just because it's there. It's all together. It's like, wow, that sounds cool. So, yeah, that's a big deal to me. All
right. Issues guy.
Best re-release we're still on?
Yes.
I would have to say because the original release of it was on my list for maybe worst game of the year and how much fun I had to it, I'll say Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge for the Wii U. I think they fixed a lot of what was wrong with it. Story still was whatever, but it brought back what was fun to play about Ninja Gaiden from the first and the second one, and which I completely couldn't get when I played it on the 360. I couldn't return a game quick enough from Gamefly, but I'm still playing the new Ninja Gaiden for the Wii U. It's just fun to kill things again. Lots of blood splatters and lots of fun.
Alright. Russ.
I'm actually gonna have to agree with you and say the Simpsons game. I loved that game when I was younger and I did play a lot of it, the cabinet version, and getting to play it on my Xbox was wonderful and I just had such a good time with it that I was just so happy to actually have like an old school game that I really loved as a kid, like to be able to play it now.
Yeah. Now if they could just bring back the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade.
Yeah, Turtles in Time.
The right way, please. Not that Ubisoft, whatever the hell that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? Whatever the hell that was.
Yeah. Blonic, favorite re-release?
I don't have one. I've been trying to figure one out, but I can't really say that I have one. I know that I'm going to be Mr. Negative on this one, but Sonic Hedgehog 4, Episode 2, horrible. Absolutely horrible. Wish it never came back. What?
Don't you mean Sonic Adventure 2?
Oh, wait, Sonic Adventure 2. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sonic Adventure 4, 2. Episode 2 was good.
No. That was a good one. I kind of mixed it up, but that one that we got the code for, I could not believe that they re-released it and they didn't fix anything, and it just, I almost wanted to puke my brains out from motion sickness. That's how bad this game was.
But Lonic, we have a worst game of 2012 category. What? You got to save that.
No.
Yeah, really?
No, I got another one for that. It's okay. But that's just one of those things where that's the only one that could really come to mind for a re-release for me. So.
All right. So while we move on to best new character, and it appears that Lawrence has gone lost again.
Motherfucker.
Alright, so best new character. For me, this might be like, this may sound like a weird one, but from the video game Dust and Elysian Tale, or Elysian Tale, the partner you have there, Fidget, was one of the funniest partner characters I've seen in games in years. Like, I'll put her up there with Claptrap as a funny sidekick of sorts. Like her dialogue was funny, and how she was so self-aware that she was in a video game made it all the more enjoyable. And She was like the anti-Navi. She wasn't like that annoying little sprite thing that would be like, hey, listen, listen, hey, hey listen.
What the hell was that?
I don't.
Hey, listen.
God.
But the character of Fidget, some people hated her. Some people, you either loved her or you hated her. I loved her. I'll be first in line if they ever come up with like a plushy version of her.
Oh my!
That's gonna disturb.
No, I mean like a little doll, like one of those, kind of like the Scott.
I'm not helping your case.
Oh, yeah. I'll shut up now.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, let me get on to something more masculine, like Baby Yoshis. Because I know they were originally in Super Mario World, I think it was, but the reimagination of the Baby Yoshis, I love them, they're so cute. That's it.
All right, Lawrence, best new character.
Lee Everett, without a question.
Nice, Lee
from The Walking Dead. That guy's awesome.
I love Lee.
Me, yeah.
He's multifaceted. He like, especially for a guy that doesn't have any powers or anything like that. Like, that guy's awesome. I love that dude.
I do wish he could run, though. I mean, I wish. that's it. That's the only thing.
Hey, he has no powers. That includes.
I know. I wish he could do a light jog, though. You know, I keep wanting him to sometimes.
He walks briskly, and that's all, because he's braver than us.
And then I'm like, he hurt his knees not walking slow enough. He keeps slipping on. Get up!
Run, Lee, run!
That's my... I just like the way he yells at zombies. Get away from me! Like,
get away!
Get away from me!
Come on, let's die!
Hey, I expect a zombie to go, okay.
Hey,
I have an understanding of the English language.
Oh, yeah, perpendicular! Deal with that, motherfucker! Ah.
All right, how about you, DCD? Favorite new character?
I've got two, and they're both villains. First one's got to be Voss from Far Cry 3, because this guy's fucking loco. Yeah. You understand the meaning of this. And then the second one, guy who threw me off completely, Haytham from Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, because you first meet up with him. Oh, this guy's cool and everything like that. Then you find out his ulterior motive. I see what you did there, you son of a bitch.
Oh.
Nice guy.
Excellent job.
Yeah, very cool.
I wanted to have a drink with that dude.
Yeah.
Yes. Right before he stabs you in the back and leaves you with the bar tab. Here you go, snap.
I did.
Right, how about you, Blawonic? Favorite new character?
From Spec Ops: The Line, Colonel John Conrad.
Just because of
the fact that I love that story. It's amazing how much that you know, I love how like they. Oh God, I'm just brain fart right now. What's the damn story it's based off of again? Kay?
Heart of Darkness.
Thank you, Heart of Darkness, which also was part of like Apocalypse Now Redux and stuff like that. That is one of those things that story was, it has just been great through the ages, and now to bring it into an actual video game, and you know, especially in the setting of Dubai and stuff like that, and the Colonel being like the lost kind of soldier that he is and stuff like that, that's just the characteristic that I'm looking for kind of like the person that went from good to bad. So that's my guy.
Nice.
Let's see. How about you, Russ?
It's going to be another villain, and it's Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2.
Ooh, that guy was
hilarious. That guy was so funny and such an asshole, and you hate him so much, but you still are completely entertained by him.
What was that? Welcome to your death. Nothing personal.
Right.
Could you do me a favor and off yourself? Thank you very much. That's great.
Or off.
Handsome Jack is kind of like the 2012 Kefka.
Oh, God.
Oh. How about best story? And I know Bluana just touched up about it, but Spec Ops: The Line just surprised me in so many different ways. Like, no game this year for me had as many shocking moments in it than Spec Ops: The Line. It was sort of like an anti Call of Duty, showcasing the gamers instead of like, oh, let's go and kill things. No, here's the grim truth of war instead of glorifying it.
Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke at Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And just watching how Walker just breaks down and becomes so mentally impaired of what's happening around him. It's beautiful how it was told, this story in Spec Ops: The Line. I was just
King.
Wes?
King. When we got to interview those guys for PAX East, that they were really awesome and everything like that, and they basically told us, get ready for the mind fuck.
That is the mind fuck of the year. Yeah. So, Blonick, would you say that had the best story of the year, or is there another game?
That's definitely one of the ones that's like kind of that would be one of my two picks, the top two picks, next to Max Payne 3, because of how I loved the storyline, how I got enveloped with that. It was one of those ones I didn't want to put the controller down because I had too much like fun with it, but also there was the disappointing parts where you know, okay, there might be a spoiler alert, but like the girl that you're officially trying to go for just gets, you know, freaking killed right in front of you, and you're like,
that's what made me throw down my controller.
Son of a bitch. It's like you go through all that and, you know, you're like, holy shit, I'm like day two and I'm like, what the hell, like that had to happen, right? And then you basically are able to just get through the whole story and just keep going and wanting more, and that's how good the story, like that ending for that, I don't want to ruin that one, but that is amazing because of the fact of how they showed it in the start part. You're trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Yeah. But when you finally get to that part, you're just blown away because of how awesome just, you know, that they did that storyline. Yeah. Awesome. Sick game.
Yeah. Issues guy.
I would say best story for me is, it's, I'm going to be a broken record here, it's got to be The Walking Dead. And I unfortunately do have to run in a second, so I'll pre-up and say that's my game of the year as well. I had the most emotionally invested in any game more than I was in that. Right how the game starts out, it just grabs you right in. Anyone who's felt in any any position ever in that situation with a police officer, not like I was, know what it's like to be in the back of a police car or anything, no. but you know that feeling, and you can just see the look in the way that they decided to marry the. Because I'm a reader of the graphic novel as well. The art style of the graphic novel with something different. It'll make it a little bit more palatable to people that might not read it. But there's definitely a feel of that, and the darkness of that you feel in the characters' emotions and stuff as well. So The Walking Dead, and it just drew me in right at the beginning. And I'm just going to be a butthead and just yell out a couple. In my worst game, Spider-Man 3DS. For the Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man for 3DS, a crappy remake of a remake of Arkham City. Anyway, so it's like a double copy. It's like getting a mixtape, and then you try to copy the mixtape for three to four different girls, and by the time you give it to the fifth girl, it just sounds like a bunch of ass. And also Star Wars Connect was shit too. What else? Game of the Year, Walking Dead, and for the game to watch in 2013, it's South Park: Stick of Truth. I can't wait to see just for the script.
I came back for that. No,
wait, no. I think Phil and I.
No. Yeah, scared voice. You know what I think? Are you going to come back to hear me talking about how excited I am for South Park: Stick of Truth? But I'm such a huge fan of Matt Stone and Trey Parker. I want to see what it's like when they have a huge influence on a video game and just to listen to it. So I'm looking forward to that. But really, I'm looking forward to Grand Theft Auto, Metal Gear, Devil May Cry, Tomb Raider, and Walking Dead Season 2. But South Park.
Okay.
But thank you, guys. It was really great doing this, and I can't wait to talk to you all again next time. All
right. Sounds good.
Later.
Later, Phil.
All right. All right. So, DCD, your best story.
Oh, best story? You know what? I'm going to go with Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
I thought I told a good enough story that I thought it qualified for that. And, you know, lots of different twists and turns like the original games. I mean, like I said, not everybody was crazy about the ending, but I still thought it was really cool for what it was.
Yes. All right. How about you, Russ?
I'm going to have to agree, especially considering the fact that the Mass Effect franchise has been going on for years and has been almost completely based on a lot of decisions that you made. To see all of that kind of culminate, it was really cool to see. And I personally liked the ending. I thought it was pretty fitting. And, you know, I think it's good that they decided to go, you know, not everything goes as well as you hope, and, you know, things don't always work out completely to your liking. So anybody who bitched about it needs to realize that, you know, this is, it was more based on, like, a reality kind of ending instead of a fairy tale ending that everybody wanted.
Yeah. Okay, how about you, Lawrence? Best story.
I got to go with Walking Dead as well. Okay. I thought, like, I mean, it's like, I know it's been said many a time, and I will say this. I did not play through the story of Spec Ops The Line, and that might make me a very bad gamer. But if it has more twists and turns than the Walking Dead game, then I need to go play that joint immediately, because Walking Dead was a roller coaster. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved every second of it, even the parts that terrified me. So it was fantastic. It was a great story.
Nice. All right. Best graphics. Blonick, why don't you go first with this one?
Spec Ops The Line. Because of the fact of how they were able to, like, get you right into it, especially, like, when you start off, it brings you right into, like, flying the helicopters, and you're shooting through the Dubai buildings and everything like that. And especially when the sandstorm comes into play, and the sand itself, it's just the characteristics of the sand. They did such an incredible job with the graphics to make it what it is, to envelop you into the game. That is easily the game for best graphics.
Okay. DCD.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to go with Halo 4. Absolutely amazing. Big quantum leap between the previous games and this one. They just... every bit of detail that they could pour out of it, they really did, and it's just fantastic to watch. But yeah, Halo 4 all the way.
For me, I know it's more of an interactive anime than a video game, but Azura's Wrath just showcased the true power of the Unreal Engine.
I'm not mad at that.
Like, everything from, like, the tiny specks of dirt to the massive godlike warriors that you face off against, it was just all stunning to look at. And this game just had some of the most jaw-dropping battle sequences I've ever seen in games, even though it was mostly quick-time moments. But Azura's Wrath was just such a beautiful game to watch. You could just have a bunch of friends come over, take turns playing each chapter of the game, have a big bowl of popcorn, and watch it. It was just that mesmerizing.
Look, I will say this, man. It's cool when games like that come around, because there's not a lot of games these days that are fun when you play them round robin like that. But I remember, like, I think the last game I played like that was, what's the name of that joint? The last game that Platinum Studios did before they went under, the... I can't remember. Oh, God Hand. I think that's what it was. God Hand. But it was just like one of those things where, like, it doesn't, like, the story's so ridiculous you don't have to follow it, but it's fun to play and watch, and people can just take turns and have a ball, you know?
Yeah. All right. Russ, how about you for best graphics?
I'm going to have to agree with Halo 4, because I think it's the most beautiful game I've ever seen graphically. But I'm also going to have to give a nod to Far Cry 3, which looked nearly as good and was a little bit more fun to play for me. But Halo 4 looks spectacular, and I don't think I've ever seen a game look that good on a 360.
Yep.
Yeah. And Lawrence, your pick.
I'd have to go with Far Cry 3, but I think that might have something to do with the fact that I actually, like, saw it on a PC. Maybe that might be the... like, I don't know.
Oh, and your graphic card, you son of a bitch.
But Far Cry 3 is beautiful. Like, oh my God. Like, oh. And, you know, look, if it's any consolation, it wasn't my PC. my PC can't do what I saw. But it was amazing. It was amazing. And honestly, it's one of these games where it's like, I'm not a big Far Cry guy, but what I have to give Far Cry props for is the fact that the games are always stunning. And, I mean, that might be their claim to fame or whatnot. The game itself was fun to play. I did like the multiplayer aspect of it, but at the same time, it wasn't necessarily my cup of tea. But if you want to talk about what looks the best, Far Cry 3 is where you have to go.
Awesome. So, on to best game more people should have played. And DCD, why don't you go first with this one? What's a game?
You know what? I was going to say XCOM, but it really is starting to pick up more in popularity. So I'm going to say, for the old school fans, Transformers Fall of Cybertron. I thought this was one of the better Transformers games out there, and I think it should have sold better than it did. I think it's an amazing game. Especially when you play Grimlock. Because when you get, you know, you don't give a fuck when you play Grimlock. Be like, me Grimlock eat everything. Me Grimlock tired of your face. Me swatted off with tail.
All right, Blonic.
I don't know if I might have said this earlier, but Sniper Life V2, because of the fact that, you know, it's such an amazing game with the bullet time. But not only that, it just, I feel that because of the fact that a lot of people like the Call of Duty and the Battlefield 3, where it's just so fast-paced and stuff like that. Sniper Elite kind of dropped it back a couple of gears on like the fast-paced ratio, and they made it so that you have to kind of, you know, pay attention to what's going on with your surroundings. You know, try to take it slow, try to figure out where these guys might be, and wait for the sounds to go off just to take the right shot at the right moment. You know, so you can get to the next part, or you should be able to try to sneak by and stuff like that. They did a fantastic job with that kind of setup, but I felt that when people either played it, or a lot of people, you know, didn't get to play it, or they just didn't mesh with them because they're just so used to just like going into multiplayer mode into Call of Duty and just like laying waste to everybody or getting laid to waste to, because because a lot of people suck when they go right into the game, but. But more or less, I feel that Sniper Elite, that's probably one of the games that should have been played just a tad bit more, just to give it a little bit more of a chance. Mm.
Russ?
I'm going to go with the game that I didn't think was completely terrific, but it had a lot of great moments. It's Dragon's Dogma.
Ooh.
Aside from being able to fast travel, that game was amazing. And just not being able to fast travel just pissed everybody off. The pawn system was a really cool, unique idea. It looked really good. It handled really well. The controls were good. And really, it was just the fact that it was so long and it took you so long to get from place to place because you couldn't fast travel. That basically turned a lot of people off, I think. And I don't think it sold very well, and I thought it was actually a very good game.
Mm. One game that I thought a lot more people were going to play, and I'm surprised a lot of people didn't, was the downloadable game Warp, where you're that cute little alien. You got to warp into objects, through walls, and into people. I thought more people were going to be talking about this game. I thought more people were going to be like putting them on their best of list. But surprisingly, a lot of people still didn't play it, even though EA was the one that released it. I loved seeing it when it was at PAX East 2011, and finally playing the final version, just being as gross as I can with warping.
Seeing that you transport into people and you explode from the inside out. Yeah, that's just fucked up.
Yeah, but it showcased a lot of strong puzzle elements. It made the game more of a brain teaser and a lot of replay value because, yeah, fun blowing up all these people, then you realize, oh shit, if you do that, you get the really horrible ending. And then you gotta go back and try to not kill as much as you did before, which is tough because it's fun. Alright. Lawrence.
I would have to say if best game more people should play, I agree. I will say this. I kind of agree with DCD, but just only slightly in the sense that I still don't think enough people have played XCOM. So it's like, so I have to say XCOM Enemy Unknown, even though I think that Transformers Fall of Cybertron is a close second, but which actually is a game that I had as like my best just regular shooter. I think I loved that game in that sense, but I think the best game that more people should have played is XCOM, because I think turn-based turns a lot of people away, but I think if they gave it a chance, they would love XCOM.
I'm telling you, when I get my chance, I'm going to crack open that game as soon as I possibly can and play it.
Right. Okay, amazing. Look. Right now, it sounds like all talk, Bolonic. It sounds like all talk.
No, it is. That's what it sounds like. Time that I can play it now.
Look, invite me to a multiplayer match, and then I'll know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, share your gamer tags afterwards.
Okay. Word.
Yes. Okay. Let's all drop our trowel and take a big giant crap on our worst picks for 2012. Woo! The worst games of 2012. And It feels so wonderful to be able to just shit all over the worst game I ever played this year, Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
I was going to say Resident Evil 6 from it there.
No game this year frustrated me more than that piece of shit. Blawonic and I, we were playing this at our house, at his house.
Yeah, we were playing at the bomb shelter. And that good thing that was a Gamefly one. And I just, oh man, I think that was one of those games that you just rather fall on a goddamn sword than just play it again.
We play like 90 minutes into it, and we're like, all right, we're gonna reseal this, send it off, and never and just about never talk about it except for now. And it was just flat out shit. You couldn't do in room multiplayer. You had to do online multiplayer. It was just a total mockery of the entire Resident Evil franchise, and not even. And you know what? I don't call it Resident Evil 6. I call it what it actually is: Resident Evil Giraffe Fellatio. Not even that. I do not think Resident Evil Giraffe Fellatio could save the franchise that Operation Raccoon City just ruined. It was just so bad, so terrible, one of the worst gaming experiences I've ever had.
And give him a minute.
I know. The end. I know.
All right.
That's all, folks.
DCD, how about you? Worst game.
I'm going to give Resident Evil a break here because I've got a bigger turd to flush, and that turd is Family Guy Back to the Multiverse. Horrible game. Oh my god. I mean, it's like the animation style's wrong, the whole setup is wrong, the controls feel like crap, you know, it's just not very funny, it's just terrible. All the way around, this game was awful.
Hey. Bluonic.
Okay, well, from what I got to play with Steel Battalion, that has to be probably the worst letdowns of the year for the Kinect. I felt that, you know, it just was one of those things that you think that they could have done so much better on the movement, so just everything that could possibly go right in that game went horribly wrong. So, yeah, that's one of my big, you know, turds of this year. I was just so disappointed, and I was so ready to go and buy it, but when I went to, like, GameStop, and I was like, so, is there any, like, returns? They're like, yeah, we've got about 100 of them. But after playing the demo and stuff like that, and just being able to, like, maybe, you know, give it a try and stuff like that, it was like, am I really gonna have to do, like, yoga in front of my fucking TV just to get this thing to go and kill something? No, thank you.
Yeah. And I hear it's a broken game. It's practically unplayable.
Yeah, it's broken.
And people are saying that there should be a class lawsuit against Capcom for releasing a broken game.
I'd sign a petition.
I would sign it too.
Yeah, I'd sign it three.
All right, Lawrence, worst game of 2012.
Once again, this is a caveat because, you know, I try to stay away from games I think are going to be bad. But, so this is probably not the worst game of 2012, but it was pretty bad still. And I have to go with Ninja Gaiden 3, which, you know, the original release. I do know that they've made some changes on Wii U, but the Ninja Gaiden that I played was, like, no good, man. It was, like, everything that Ninja Gaiden is not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so it's just a bad game. I mean, everyone knows that.
The part in the first chapter where you stab, where you basically murder this guy who's pleading for his life, just sickened me. Like, that was, like, that's...
You know what? The thing is, they took that out of the Wii U version. It actually makes more sense now.
Yes.
Well, and here it is. Like, I'm not mad that they decided to fix the game since it was, like, you know, basically messed up. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I mean, you know, you corrected your mistake. That doesn't make it not a mistake, you know. It was like, you know, we appreciate it, but for those of us that played it first, it was like, oh, this is no good, man. This is like the opposite of what Ninja Gaiden's supposed to feel like. And it was one of those games where people were kind of looking forward to it, so people played it. and everybody was let down collectively.
Yes. And Russ, what about you? Worst game of the year.
Okay, it's going to be... I'm going to have multiple answers, because one, I have to mention, even though I didn't personally play it, but Amy is apparently the biggest piece of shit in the world.
Yeah.
What game you say? And then,
Amy.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I personally didn't play that one, but one of the other reviewers on my site did, and she gave it, like, a 1, because I don't think it's possible to give a 0.
No. See, that's the thing about the Boston Bastard Brigade. We give negative 0s.
Okay, well, I think that game would have probably gotten a negative 15. also, Never Dead for being a gigantic piece of shit. Just all around.
Wow. That's going to kind of upset one of our friends who actually liked that game.
Well, then he should be upset about his decisions in life.
Oh.
And then another game I'm going to mention, because I was really excited for this one, was The Amazing Spider-Man. The movie tie-in, because it looked like it was going to be a good game, and it's just a horrible Arkham City knockoff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of people were very upset that I hated that game so much, but I really, really hate that game.
Yeah.
And the room goes
I don't
quiet.
Know, I liked it. I liked it.
I was like, it was one of the few... Sorry,
you know what, if you want to talk about a licensed game that deserves to be flushed, let's talk 007 Legends. Oh. That game sucked.
Yeah, 007 was not a great game, that's true.
Yes. I'm actually surprised they still released it on the Wii U.
Amazing Spider-Man is one of the few comic book games that I did not actually play this year, because I knew that it was like a sequel, or not sequel, but it comes after the movie.
Yeah, that's another thing. It was a week before the movie came out, and it takes place after the movie and ruins the whole movie.
Right.
Which I liked the movie, too.
See, and that's the thing, where it's like, I didn't play the game because I was like, well, I'm going to go watch the movie, but then I ended up not watching the movie either. So it was just like, it was a cycle of, let me just skip the fail.
Yeah, it was a big pile of fail, because basically, like, it's like Arkham City, but the combo system is a lot more repetitive, and then when you get to the point where you punch the boss 1,500 times, it goes into a cinematic of you beating the boss. Like, you don't even get the satisfaction of beating this guy you've been fighting for 15 minutes.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was like, this is just really terrible, and the fact that it came out before the movie, and I reviewed it, so I had to play it before the movie came out, so it basically ruined the movie for me, because I knew what already happened.
That's no good.
Yeah.
Like, releasing it for the movie was such a terrible idea that it made me, like, it lost, like, 4 points just for doing that.
Yeah. All right, so should we move on to best console?
Works for me.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, Lawrence, what do you think was the best console of the year?
You know, I went with Xbox 360.
Mm.
I mean, it's like, for me, it's just like, It does what it's supposed to do. I mean, it has technical problems at times, but outside of that, it's like it feels very tried and true. I love my Xbox 360. I can't be mad at it. So yeah. I would go with Xbox 360.
Yeah, and I do want to give it to the Wii U, but it's still too much in its infancy that maybe next year it could be on there. But everything that I really liked playing this year was on the Xbox 360.
Understand what the Wii U needed was like an unadulterated, like, killer game to come out for the launch. And I think, even though I think Zombie U is a pretty decent step in that direction, I don't think it was definitively that game. And then everything else it had was basically like ports. And so it's like, you know, it needed a game that showed all the capabilities of the console to kind of cement itself to be like the system in 2012, even if it was here in the end, but it didn't do that. So it's like, okay, well, maybe next year.
Yeah. All right. Russ, how about you?
I'm going to have to go to 360. That's usually what I play on. So, I mean, most of the games that I play come off there, and I still think that Xbox has a better library in comparison to PS3, even though graphically PS3 is a little bit ahead of them. But I think I think just about everything aside from graphic capabilities is better on the 360.
Right.
So So I'm going to have to go with the 360. It's my favorite console so far.
Okay. DCD.
You know what? I'm going to go against type here. I'm going to say, as far as the best system, I definitely got to give a nod to the PlayStation 3. I think it had a nice bounce back after that whole Mortal Kombat. Or no, not with Mortal Kombat, the PSN crash travesty. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember that. And plus, PlayStation Plus is doing really well, I think. They announced a bunch of great games at the Sony Press. I had more fun in 5 minutes at the Sony Press Conference, save for Wonder Book, than I did the entire Nintendo Press Conference at E3. I mean, they really delivered like on most of the hits that they really needed to. Talk about God of War, talk about Last of Us. They're going to have a big 2013. They really are. I think the only thing they sucked on was the PS Vita. I think that it could have turned out better than it did. But still, 2013 is just looking great for them. I think 2012 was the year of the PlayStation. I was really pleased with how it turned out.
All right. And Bluonic.
Well, more or less, kind of like with me, it's just been Xbox 360. It's my go-to system. Even though I wish I could like really play the PC a lot more, along with PlayStation. See, like, that's the thing. Darkheart had moved into my house, and he has a PlayStation. It's like, where he has it in my pool room and stuff like that, I walk by it every day, and I go, oh, there's the PS3. I should play that sometime. And then I walk away, and I totally forget about it. Will you stop molesting the mic?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a fruit fucker. Stop.
yeah, more or less, the Xbox 360 is probably my go-to system. I mean, the Wii is always fun to go back to and play, like, some of my shooter games or Mario Kart or some other stuff, but it's just one of those things where it's not always my go-to system because sometimes I feel like I just can't get off the couch that day. It's one of those days. So, yeah, Xbox all the way. But okay. I was impressed with Wii U, but yet it's one of those things, still too early in the game for that one. And I've seen like a lot of things go from like, you know, bad to worse when they come out with systems like that. And when they go out and they go and push these kind of systems and stuff like that have specific things for it, their library isn't as strong as it could be. So I feel that maybe the Wii U is just it was just a little bit late in the game that they put it out like this. They should have basically originally released this when they came out with the Wii. Just in general, that's what I feel personally is they should have already been able to have done this back when the Wii came out, which was like pretty. They updated the graphics. They made everything look really good, but yet it just I feel like it's bad timing.
Okay, so the next thing we have is another category that DCD created: best downloadable game. And for this, I'm actually going to go last because downloadable game and game of the year are the exact same for me. So DCD, what was your pick for best downloadable game?
You know what? I was going to say Sin Mora, but I'll tell you this: Journey. I'm just going to call it out right now. Journey was amazing. Mm. I think that was one of that game company's best games, and I really got blown away by what it had to offer. Just amazing graphics, great music, which, by the way, got nominated for a Grammy, might I point that out.
You know, that's amazing.
It's excellent all around. I mean, I can't recommend. I mean, The Walking Dead kind of counts as a good downloadable game, but you can get it at retail too. So, you know, I'm just going to say Journey.
All right. Russ.
I'm probably going to have to go with Walking Dead because it's so incredible, and I mean, it's a game that's won Game of the Year, and a lot of people are saying it's their Game of the Year, and to not have it as a best downloadable game seems kind of silly because it's just so good.
Okay, Bluonic.
I really have to say Trials Evolution because of how they updated the graphics, they made the game just a bit more fun. Fun in the sense that like how you're able to race around the track, especially seeing that they've done a lot of add-ons in a short amount of time. They haven't let it like screw in like oh, 6 months later, like they've come out with something. Like they've been doing it maybe almost every 2 to 3 months now that they've like given something out that, you know, is an update or downloadable content. So I'm good with them.
Alright. And Lawrence.
I have to say without question, it's The Walking Dead. Like, it's in a class of its own, I think, in the downloadable area. Even though I do have to give props to a game like Journey, but No, it's The Walking Dead. It's good stuff.
Oh, you whore.
Look, I'm just saying, hey, it's just an opinion.
Yes. Remember, folks, this is the opinions of five or six, because Issues Guy's not here, six different people. So, my pick for best downloadable game, but it's also my pick for game of the year, which we'll segue into. It's gotta, for me, I know it might come as a surprise, but Dust and Elysian Tail was one of the most beautiful, fun, and enticing side-scroller games I've ever played. And wow. What makes it more amazing was the fact it was practically made by just one person.
That is true.
And it was a game where I felt like I was controlling a Don Bluth movie, even more so than any of his Dragon Lair games. It had great story, characters, gameplay elements. Hack and slash never got tiring, and while the boss battles tended to be a lot easier than most, the events to tie the battles together made it all worthwhile. And I'm honestly hoping that this isn't the last we see of the world of Dust Elysian Tail. I hope we get to see like a sequel of sorts, because I love the characters. I just love everything about it. Just no game amazed me more this year.
I think the amazing part of it is it's mostly the work of one man. Yeah, over a three-year time span. I mean, he did an amazing job with what it was.
Yeah, like games don't look that good and are generally aren't as that or aren't as amazing being worked on by one guy.
Yeah, like he put more heart into that game than probably like 100 people at Electronic Arts could ever do. Mm-hmm. So, okay, game of the year. DCD, what's your pick?
My game of the year is Borderlands 2. Absolutely amazing from beginning to end and a whole lot of fun. I mean, you really can't go wrong with it. They really did such a good job on it over there at Gearbox. It was just too much of a good time. So
yeah,
definitely going with that.
All right, Russ.
I'm going to have to agree with two different people and go with either Walking Dead or Borderlands 2 because both of them are spectacular. I still play Borderlands constantly, and I love that game so much.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Lawrence.
I have to go with Assassin's Creed 3, man. Assassin's Creed 3 was just, like I said, it was totally amazing. It made me love it for a number of different reasons. And as far as varied gameplay, I mean, it's just like, between just running through the streets and doing the parkour thing or assassinating folks, whether that be stealthily or just out in the open, between deciding if you want to go ahead and do what are those runs? Like basically sending people on like supply runs and doing like different types of crafting and whatnot, building up your homestead, going out on the ships. It's like, dude, it does everything. It's like, it doesn't, it's one of the most amazing games out in 2012, no question.
Mm. And finally, Blue Onyx.
Finally. I have to say, I have to give the king this one because of the fact that this is what was my gift for Christmas that I was just able to recently play. Hitman Absolution. I have to say that this is one of those games, I know, like, I haven't even talked about it this whole time. You're probably thinking Sniper Elite, oh, Tom Clancy, oh, that's K3, Spec Ops Alliance, something along those lines. Yeah. I just totally came out of left field with Hitman Absolution, so suck it. So more or less, yeah, I felt that the game design on this one was amazing, especially because I haven't been able to play, like, all of them, like, through, you know, with the other Hitman. But, I mean, I love the concept of how, like, they have the new stealth kills, you know, and how you have to dispose of, like, bodies and stuff like that, and how you can, you know, switch into different people's clothes. Just like, the design of the game is brilliant, and it's beautiful, and the story's awesome.
All right. Excellent choices, everybody. And now we go on to the final topic, the game to watch for in 2013. Lawrence, why don't you go first with this one? What's the one game you are looking forward to the most in 2013?
I will say this. 2013 already feels like there's going to be a lot of amazing games that are going to be coming out in 2013. And without question, I feel like I'm just going to mention a couple things that I think are at the top of the pile, just because I'm like, just from what I've seen, Watch Dogs and Grand Theft Auto 5, without question, are at the top of the pile, which is like, oh my God, these games are going to be amazing. But as for myself, I'm going to have to agree with my man Phil, who dipped out earlier, and say South Park Stick of Truth, man. Like, I am so looking forward to turn-based RPG in the South Park universe. First South Park game being written by Matt and Trey. Like, they're directly involved, and they're doing the story. And it's just like, the entire town of South Park is LARPing, the story. Basically, and you're going to be the new kid in the South Park universe, leveling up with the characters in that universe and doing a turn-based RPG. Like, dude, like, honestly, it's like if the world had ended on the 21st, that would have been my biggest regret, that I played that game. That would have been it. And I would just be like, oh, well. So I can't wait, dude. I can't wait.
Hey, DCD.
You know what? I would say South Park because, you know, it's looking like it's going to be a really good game and all that. But I have been looking forward like crazy to BioShock Infinite. I want to play that thing for like hours on end. I mean, it looks amazing. So I'm just eagerly. It really does. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's going to be a fun time.
I think my pick might put a smile on Lawrence's face. Maybe all the other people, too. The game I'm really looking forward to the most, it's got to be the Deadpool game.
Dude, I agree.
Yay, Deadpool.
Thank you so much for that one.
Just hear Nolan North go off in a whole bunch of F-bombs. That's gonna
be- Me too. I mean, just imagining what you're going to be able to do as Deadpool, all the crazy shit that he does in the comics, you're probably going to be able to do in the video game tenfold.
That and breaking the fourth wall.
Exactly. That's always. I am a sucker for anything that breaks the fourth wall. Whether it be plays, movies, anime. If it breaks the fourth wall, I'm in. I love that type of shit. And Deadpool is one of my favorite comic book heroes. And to be able to finally play a true version of him just excites me so much.
I agree.
Blonic.
I bet I'm like the odd man out on this one again, but I do look forward to Army of Two Devil's Cartel. I have to say that I love the Army of Two series. I like the concept of the actual game, where it has to be co-op and whatnot. And I know that they've changed a lot of stuff with this new game coming up. I'm still a little bit scared of it, but I'm going to give it a try because I just love the concept of Army of Two. Even though that you're not going to really be playing the main characters from the past two games, it's got me interested because I like the concept of mercenary type play.
I'm not mad at that.
Nope. And finally, Russ.
Okay, Infinite is on the top of my list. So is Injustice, Gods Among Us, because that looks like a great like DC-based fighting game. But yes. It's got to be Deadpool. For me, I'm a tremendous Deadpool fan. I love the comics. I've read all of them probably about four times. And anyone who knows me knows that I love Deadpool, like, just to the core. And the fact that it's being written by Daniel Way, who did, the last Deadpool run, makes me very happy. Because I think he's got my favorite Deadpool run out of all of them. And I think he writes them the best. Because he's the one who really brought in the narration boxes into that kind of, like, weird humor that Deadpool's being really well known for. And that and the fact that I was at the announcement at SDCC for that game, and it was really the greatest moment of my life.
Absolutely, I can imagine.
Yes.
That's because I don't know if anyone's seen the video of it, but at one point, the guy playing Deadpool stands on a chair, almost falls, points to something and says, "Fuck that thing."
Classic.
And the announcement trailer for that game was so hilarious that I've seen the edited and unedited versions, and the edited version is actually funnier because of all the ridiculous stuff they throw in. Kind of like Deadpool edited his own video, and he throws like pictures of like kittens when people's heads are getting cut off, and all this ridiculous stuff. I just love Deadpool so much that I actually sent an email to my editor-in-chief going, "I will review the worst games ever Deadpool just to get Deadpool. I don't care what I have to do to give me Deadpool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I might do the same with Ninja Sister.
I'm actually wearing my Deadpool t-shirt right now. One of my four Deadpool t-shirts, including a Deadpool I got at Comic-Con last year.
Nice. All right.
But that's what I'm saying, man. 2013 is going to be amazing already.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it really is.
Absolutely. And I look forward to seeing just what we're going to be surprised with. Not just with the games that have been announced, but what hasn't been announced. What's going to come out of the waterwork? What's going to be... what's coming out of the woodwork? What's gonna surprise us?
Right, because look, we've opened the door now with the whole downloadable side of things. Like downloadable games can surprise us. We opened up the door from the year before with the indie game scene, and we saw the amazing indie games we got this year. It's like, imagine what could happen in 2013.
I know.
Well, you know, maybe in 2013 they'll release the rest of Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified, because the one they released this year was incomplete. let's go to the campaign. Wait, that's 40. You know, if we had a worse handheld game, that would have been taking it. But in like 45 minute campaign and you're done.
Right.
Wow.
Whatever.
And campaign. Then multiplayer. Hey, play with four friends. Yeah, thanks a fucking lot. And the commercial, it's like they're actually running around with a Vita in their hands. What idiot does that?
False advertising. We should sue Activision for false advertising.
Black Ops 2 ad has Robert Downey Jr. PS Vita has a douche running around with a PS Vita. Guess who wins?
Robert Downey Jr. always wins.
Yeah, always, that's why he brings a jet to a gunfight.
So on that note, we have completed it. We have finished with 2012.
Good riddance.
Get out of here. 2012, you're drunk.
Humbug, motherfucker.
So now is the time where we get to promote the crap out of everybody's websites. So remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If any questions, comments, anything you would like us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards at bossatbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and you can find Blonic under Blonic and Tumblr, b3crew.tumblr.com.
Nice. Yeah, we're also on Facebook, so facebook.com/bossatbastardbrigade. I'm done.
Follow me at twitter.com/thedcd or facebook.com/thedcd. Check out my work over at Tech News Daily, Game Zone, Prima Games, and Comic Book Resources. I'm spent.
Yeah, this is Russ, and I am the new crawler at digitalnoob.com. You can reach me on Twitter at dn_noobcrawler. You can see all my comic booky stuff on that website. You can follow Digital Noob on Twitter at digitalnoob_com, on Facebook at digitalnoob, on Tumblr at digitalnoob, and all the places around there. And you can also find my comic book news web page on Facebook at Comic Book Daily News.
All right. And finally, Lawrence.
All right. Well, if you're looking for me, I am a member of Fantastic Forum, which is a weekly live radio talk show about comic books. You can reach us at allgames.com/FF. Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. Pacific. We have a Twitter as well. That's at Fantastic Forum. So you can just go ahead and hit us at Fantastic Forum or get the feed at twitter.com/Fantastic Forum. You can also find me at geeknation.com, where I do a podcast called Gekken, which is actually German for geek. So you can go ahead and hit me on Gekken, where I do a podcast with Crix Lee. So you can hit me on either one of those. And, of course, my Twitter is at Mayor Young on Twitter. So MayorYoung at Twitter.
Awesome. Guys.
And also, don't forget that Skype hates Lawrence.
Skype does hate me. For good reason, though. Me and Skype have had a beef for many years now.
Yes.
Oh, and... And to learn more about the fruit fucker, head over to penny-arcade.com.
Indeed.
Yes. Guys,
not safe for work.
It was a blast having all of you on the show, and I look forward to doing it again sometime soon.
Thank you so much for having us, man.
No problem.
It's been a blast. Absolutely fun.
Yes. And so, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Luonic.
DCD. Hey. Checky. What are we waiting
for? Lords again.
We did. Hey.
You asked for my tag?
Yeah.
Yeah, and tell Lawrence who Foot Fucker is.
Yes.
I know who he is.
Well, we're reminding you, you don't have to be the boss, only a bastard.
But it sure helps. I'm living proof.